In that open field, if you do not come too close, if you do not come too close on a summer midnight, you can hear the music of the weak pipe and the little drum, and see them dancing around the bonfire, the association of man and woman in dancing, signifying matrimony. A dignified and commodious sacrament, two and two, necessary conjunction, holding each other by the hand or the arm, which betokeneth concord. Round and round the fire, leaping through the flames, or joined in circles, rustically solemn, or in rustic laughter, lifting heavy feet in clumsy shoes, earth feet, loam feet, lifted in country mirth, mirth of those long since under earth, nourishing the corn, keeping time, keeping the rhythm in their dancing, as in their living in the living seasons, the time of the seasons and the constellations, the time of milking and the time of harvest, the time of the coupling of man and woman and that of beasts. Feet rising and falling, eating and drinking, dung and death.
Thank you. Debussy's Danse Profane, ending this week's edition of Words and Music. The readers were Joseph Kloska and Imogen Stubbs. Let's Face the Music and Dance was produced by Fiona McLean. And you'll find a full playlist with details of all of tonight's readings and music via the Radio 3 homepage. Next week, the programme takes the theme of turning points. Words and Music, next Sunday night, at the slightly later time of 25 past 10.
On BBC 4. Behind brutal regimes and in conflicts across the globe, organisations such as Amnesty International have campaigned for justice.
Our method is to establish groups of supporters as widely as we can all over the world.
But as it turns 50, can it continue to shine a light in today's society?
Amnesty has difficulties now because the response to the message about human rights is no longer so positive.
Amnesty, when they are all free. Part of the Justice Season, this Tuesday night at 9, on BBC 4.
This is BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM, on digital radio and online. It's now 22 minutes to midnight, and so a little later than advertised, we come to Jazz Lineup with Julian Joseph.
Hello. Do you recognise this style? It was Tim Garland, Joe Locke and Jeff Keyser making Storm's Nocturnes, and that acoustic trio are our featured concert set this week, and Tim will be joining me for the entire duration of the programme today. Hello, Tim.
Hello, Julian.
The All-Party Parliamentary Jazz Awards have just taken place, and I was there to witness the proceedings, and I'll bring you some of the movers and shakers from the evening. But to begin, we've got British tenor and woodwind stalwart Julian Siegel and his action-packed quartet. Their new disc is called Urban Theme Park. Liam Noble is on piano, Ollie Hayhurst is on bass, and Gene Calderazzo is on the drums, all of whom shine on Cedar Walton's composition, Fantasy in D.
Thank you.
Fantasy in D and the action-packed quartet of Julian Siegel. You know, one of the wonderful things of listening to this music, especially with a musician like Tim Garland here, is that all the things you're thinking, you can just discuss. And we were talking about Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers and Cedar Walton, who wrote that piece.
Yep.
And it's a really great reading, isn't it, of that piece?
Yeah, quite... I was saying, I love the arrangement. You know, it adds a whole new life to it. Sounds fantastic.
Well, on piano was Liam Noble, Ollie Hayhurst was on the bass, Gene Calderazzo was on the drums, and Julian Siegel was on tenor on that track. But throughout the album, you can hear him on clarinets as well as saxophones. The album is called Urban Theme Park, and it's out now on the Basho Records label. And if you want to catch Julian in concert, he's playing at the King's Place with the Royal Academy of Music Big Band, and that's in a concert dedicated to the music of the late Steve Gray, featuring Norma Winston and Julian, of course, on saxophone. On the 23rd of June, he plays the Margate Jazz Festival with Norma once again, and Nicky Ayres is on piano on that gig. On September the 18th, he plays the Southport Jazz Festival, kicking off his quartet tour. And if you want more information, check out his website. The Parliamentary Jazz Awards have been announced and organised by the All-Party Parliamentary Jazz Appreciation Society. That's a mouthful, right? I was there for Jazz Lineup, and we talked to many of the musicians shortlisted for the eight categories. With very few jazz awards around nowadays, it's a good chance to catch up with fellow performers and promoters. The eight categories I mentioned are Jazz Education, Services to Jazz, Publication, Musician of the Year, Album, Ensemble, Venue, Journalist and Broadcaster. I caught up with the veteran bassist Coleridge Good, who picked up the Services to Jazz Award at 96. He attended the celebration, and I was privileged to talk briefly to him at the party, and I asked how he felt now that he had just won this great award.
I'm astonished. It's a lovely occasion, and, it's far more than I ever dreamt of. My life has been about producing lovely music that people enjoy, bring pleasure to people's lives. I owe all this to my father,
right,
who is a wonderful musician and brought me up to appreciate the best in music of all sorts.
Coleridge Good. Tim, I saw you smiling, especially when he mentioned his father there.
Well, 96, oh, it's such a wonderful thing to hear him say these things, especially when he was saying the more different kinds of music you can appreciate, the more, you know, enjoyable your life is. It just rings so true for me.
Yeah, well, he's the embodiment of what we might be able to experience if we have a long and fruitful life.
Amen to that,
this, you know. Anyway, here is Coleridge playing with the pianist and composer Michael Garrick, MBE. And from the album The Heart is a Lotus, this is Torrent.
Thank you.
the Michael Garrick group, and that was Torrent. Coleridge Good was on bass, Ian Carr was on trumpet, and there was a wonderful tenor battle there from Art Thiemann and Don Rendell. Mike Garrick was on piano. Trevor Tompkins was on drums, and he just celebrated his 70th birthday in the last 3 weeks. A mere whippersnapper to the 96 years of Coleridge. Tim, you might know pianist Brian Kellock, who won the Jazz Musician of the Year award. He was up against Jim Hart and Django Bates, and I talked to Brian and asked him what this award meant to him.
I suppose it's justification for all the hard times, and it makes it worthwhile. Actually, just I mean, you don't particularly want awards, but to get one is just so nice, and it just makes you feel a bit better about yourself and your playing.
What projects are you involved in at the moment?
I've got some stuff with James Morrison again next month. There's a new trio album with John Ray and Kenny Ellis.
What does being a jazz musician give you an insight into when you look at life?
I think it's humility, and you're just struggling to get on, and it's so the music actually takes over. If you have a good gig, it makes you feel a lot better about life.
Because I know you played Rhapsody in Blue with Tommy Smith. You've done a whole manner of duets. You've done a whole manner of trio gigs. You've played in all kinds of ensembles. But is there anything that is really something that you want to do, that you'd like to get on with?
Well, I've always hoped to do an album with Sheila Jordan, and we've talked about it, and it's just if we're in the right place at the right time. So that's sort of on, not the back burner, it's on the medium burner. I'd like to get some lessons off John Taylor. So if you're listening, John, checks in the post. You can never learn enough. I mean, look at Coleridge tonight. Fantastic. So just try and struggle on.
Brian Kellock. That's someone I know you're very familiar with.
Yeah, Brian and I were together mainly in Scotland. Must be getting on for 20 years ago now. It's great to see him last night and to, you know, once again hook up. I mean, the jazz community is one of the most stimulating communities you could ever wish to be in.
Well, the Jazz Education Award went to the veteran of the Wigan Youth Jazz Orchestra, Ian Darrington, MBE, who's kept the flag flying for that highly commended band and on the road for many years. I congratulated him on winning the award.
Thank you very much. It's a thrill to be here, and an absolute thrill to be here with all these people who are involved in this marvellous industry. Great industry, vibrant from, you know, top of Britain to the bottom of you know, it's just an amazing thrill. Thank you.
Your investment into the youth of Wigan in particular, with the Wigan Youth Jazz Band, is something that you've dedicated your life to. What is it that you can identify in young people that you think, okay, this would make a good jazz musician?
There's a lot of things that make a young jazz musician. I think you look for the sparkle in the eyes more than anything. When you hear the music's taking place, and you watch the kids and you see that sparkle in their eyes, you know that it's turning them on. And they don't have to say anything to you. So that's the first thing. I think also the fact that kids just do not know what they can't do. They have no understanding of barriers, and so there's a real challenge and excitement about that whole thing. You know, if you involve them in it, if you give them the confidence, if you make them feel confident about themselves, they'll play great music. And we've been through working with a lot of very, very special people over the years. We've been able to turn just an ordinary youth band into a very special group of people.
What age do you take them from and then to?
Well, we've now got three bands which start around about the age of 10, and that first band goes 10 till about 14, and then the intermediate group, the Wigan Youth Big Band, runs from around about 12 or 13 through till 16 or 17, and then the Youth Jazz Orchestra attracts players sometimes from as young as 14 through to when they go off to university.
Ian Darrington. Here are the Wigan Youth Jazz Orchestra in action with Hot Toddy. We'll be right back. Ian Darrington, MBE, conducting the Wigan Youth Jazz Orchestra from their newest CD, Goes Green. And Ian collected the Jazz Education Award from this year's Parliamentary Jazz Awards. That was a piece called Hot Toddy. Awards I have not mentioned, but briefly will now, are John Turville for his album Midas. That was Album of the Year. John Fordham for Journalist of the Year. Brass Jaw were voted Jazz Ensemble of the Year. Jazz promoter Venue went to the spot in Streatham called Hideaway, and the Jazz Broadcaster of the Year was awarded to Paul Barnes from BBC Radio Norfolk. Good night for jazz.
Yeah, Tim. I'll say.
Well, this is Julian Joseph on BBC Radio 3's Jazz Lineup, and joining me this week is composer and saxophonist Tim Garland. Jazz Lineup now brings you your concert set for this week, recorded at the Royal Northern College of Music in Manchester, where on the 6th of April we recorded a set from Storm's Nocturnes, who are Tim Garland on reeds, Jeff Keyser on piano, Joe Locke on vibes, and it was a set based on their Via album. A little background to Tim is that he's a multi-reedsman who has the respect of his fellow musicians locally and globally. After an eventful and creative time on the British and European scene, he went on to distinguish himself in the legendary Chick Corea's contemporary septet, Origin, not the only band of Chicks he's played in. He's quite simply a composer, player, and educator of the highest order worldwide. He has recently rejoined forces with these Americans and created Storm's Nocturnes. And it's been quite a labour of love for you, hasn't it?
It has, yeah. Well, we first got together in 2001, I think it was, and we did two albums. And it was tough because my nickname for the trio is the Jet Lag Trio, because you have Jeffrey Keyser coming from San Diego and mm-hmm. Joe from New York and me in London. So no matter where you play in the world, it's guaranteed one person is going to be completely jet lagged. Mm-hmm. And of course you've got things like work permits to sort out and all of that. And it was hard at the time. And after we spent that spell together, we played a little in America as well and around Europe, we had a gap of about 7 years. So it's so special for me now, it's kind of 10 years on, if you like, by now, to finally reform.
And compositionally, you share those duties, don't you, when you put the album together?
This one in particular is a real kind of, you know, an equilateral triangle. And that's the way I love it. I've always loved collaborations. We all are sort of mutual fans of each other's writing. And you can really see the three different characters within the three different, you know, composers we got there. And so it makes for a much more colourful album.
And, you know, there's a lot of interaction and you're very much exposed because there's no bass or drums.
You bet. Well, trios, and I've had several trios over the years. That's one thing I love about them. There's never anything you do which can ever be in the background. It's all foreground.
Well, let's get to the music. I'm pleased to say that you're going to talk us through the concert. And this was at the Royal Northern College of Music.
Yep. It was indeed, yeah.
You were there, sorry to cut across you, but I know you were there doing an education project with many many great students there.
Yes, what you won't hear in this concert was the at the beginning before we came on, and then again at the end there are 13 saxophone players, mm-hmm. all great students at the Royal Northern College, where I now have a regular post. And it was great, by the way, to hear Ian Darrington talk about, you know, the youth in jazz, etc., because, you know, when you see, he's absolutely right, you see the sparkle in their eyes. And, of course, to get them to play alongside these students, get them to play alongside Jeffrey and Joe, you know, how often do people get an opportunity to do that? So I was wearing two simultaneous hats at this gig, if you like, as my kind of professor hat, as well as being a member of Storm's Nocturnes.
This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Julian Joseph, and Tim Garland, bringing you a concert from the Royal Northern College of Music in Manchester, where on the 6th of April we recorded a set from Storm's Nocturnes, who are Tim Garland on reeds, Jeffrey Keyser on the piano, Joe Locke on vibes, and it was a set based on their album Veer. Let's hear the first item. This is Tiger Lily's DIY Paradise, written by pianist Jeff Keyser. Thank you. Storm's Nocturnes, and that was Tiger Lily's DIY Paradise, written by the pianist Jeffrey Keyser. Joe Locke was on vibraphone, and my guest, Tim Garland, was on soprano saxophone. It was wonderful hearing that piece of music, Tim, and hearing you sort of identify compositional gems within that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm a genuine fan of the guy's writing, you know, so it's... And one of the things about a great piece of jazz music, a great jazz composition, is its own inner life. You know that every time you play it, it's going to expand and evolve, and, you know, it's not kind of overwritten, but yet it's beautiful on its own too.
And I like the onus of all of these compositions, which have to do with places that are meaningful, you know, or by way of, as Joe says.
Yeah, indeed. That one was Jeffrey's piece written after his own backyard, and his nickname for his wife, who looks after it and has turned it into some kind of wonderful paradise.
Well, the next piece is another piece by Jeffrey. Stylistically, it's coming out of a swing conception, and there are other aspects about it that you could probably talk about.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we wanted to make the album nicely varied, and a lot of the magical places, because this is what this whole CD was about, visiting magical places we've been to, a lot of them have been, not surprisingly, wonderful venues. So the thing with this piece is that it's, as Jeffrey says, it's kind of as near to the blues as Storm's Nocturnes will probably ever get, because it's based upon this fantastic venue out there which has a lot of swing-based you know, music there, and it's just so much fun to play.
Let's listen to this. This is another composition by Jeffrey Keyser, and it's called Daly Avenue.
Thank you.
the next piece is Joe Locke's Her Sanctuary, an interweaving piece.
Yeah, it's this is one of Joe's, a sweetheart of a piece. And although it sounds quite sophisticated in a way because of its odd time signature, it doesn't draw attention to itself in that way. It's really, it's about beauty, really, and a certain kind of momentum. And you're right, it's kind of got this episodic thing. It doesn't have a regular structure. Mm. And the other thing to listen out for is the subtleties of, say, the left-hand writing for Geoffrey. There's amazing bass lines which are going on in the background.
And it slides very easily between the 13-8 to the 3-4.
Yeah, you don't kind of have to listen to the nuts and bolts in it, you know. And the soprano sax, although it's a very mellifluous piece, by the time it gets to my solo, it's kind of crazy, you know.
But also I wanted to talk about the fact that you utilise both instruments, the bass clarinet and the soprano saxophone. This is a feature through this group.
Yeah, I love that instrument. Of course, when you're playing in a situation where there is no bass player, you've got all that sonic space down there. The bass clarinet is one of those instruments which has a massive range, a bit like the cello, you know. So it's, for a composer, it can act as a kind of a glue, you know. And people are forever asking me what it is, you know. So I finally went to Google and looked up what it was. A bass clarinet.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Storm's Nocturnes Trio and Joe Locke's Her Sanctuary. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Julian Joseph, and Tim Garland, bringing you a concert from the Royal Northern College of Music in Manchester of UK-US trio Storm's Nocturnes. Tim Garland's on reeds, Jeffrey Keyser on the piano, and Joe Locke is on the vibes. The next piece, Tim, is yours, and it's called Ambleside Nights.
Yeah, well, one of the albums which I've long since loved is John Taylor's Ambleside Days. Mm. Now, the CD was helped along enormously by a wonderful guy, Derek Hook, from Ambleside, who runs a little club called Zeffirelli's. Mm-hmm. And we recorded this in Derek's wonderful house with a beautiful Steinway piano there. So it wasn't in a regular studio at all. So without Derek's help, you know, it may never have happened. And I was talking to him about, you know, titles, album titles, etc. And it was his suggestion. He said, well, we've had Ambleside Days, but Ambleside Nights. So this next piece is very much dedicated to him. And you can, I think, also tell, I think, anyway, there's a little influence of John Taylor's writing in the piece as well.
Well, let's have a listen to Ambleside Nights. Thank you. Boy, Tim, you don't take it easy on those guys, do you? Ambleside Nights. And that's the simpler of the two tunes that you've got here.
We're playing it faster and faster each night.
The next piece is, he says who it's dedicated to, but it's a really beautiful piece of music.
Yeah, now Joe has this talent, always has, of writing these tunes, these songs, really, songs without words. In fact, he has put words to several of his things. Mm. And this is, of course, you know, no exception. We kind of have closed out on many gigs with this tune. And, I mean, it's the secret's in the title, you know, Storms Nocturnes. We have a lot of stormy music, but it's so important just to chill and just be able to deliver a melody. And what better melodies to deliver than these beautiful, simple melodies of Joe's, which speak so deeply.
There's a great offbeat accompaniment in the piano. I guess separates this from the accompaniment in all of the other pieces. And it's great that each piece has its own area.
Mm.
Do you think that's something that's quite deliberate amongst the three of you?
Well, certainly when we are deciding upon a set, we think of things which may be a little too similar or, you know, whatever. But you're right. I mean, it has an almost kind of South American feel to it. And yeah, you have to be aware of the whole, I think. And so it's rather like it's the same book, but each chapter has to be somewhat, you know, distinct. So it's by the end of the whole gig, you really feel as if you've met the musicians and you've met the characters and they've developed, that kind of thing.
Now to Joe Locke, part of Storms and Nocturnes, with his piece, Sort of Whispers.
Thank you.
The Storm's Nocturnes Trio on a composition by Joe Locke called Sword of Whispers. Geoffrey Keyser was on piano and my special guest, Tim Garland, on tenor saxophone. Did you get that low note?
Yeah, I always think, you know, the end of this piece finishes on a really low note before these, you know, the final flourish. Normally by this time in the gig, you know, you're kind of, your adrenaline is going, but your stamina is starting to kind of wane a little. So I was glad I got that low note, okay.
Well, we're getting to the finale. It's the most challenging piece, I think, in this set, in a number of ways. And this great sense of detail and attention to that, you know, is a hallmark of your writing. And what do you think that springs from?
Well, I was brought up listening to a lot of classical music. And this is one of the things, I'm sure you agree, Julian, that the older you get, the more different kinds of music you can dig. You know, perhaps you didn't have the patience when you were younger to really get into it. Mm-hmm. I mean, even things like Duke Ellington, I find now with my older ears, I can really get into, say, early Duke Ellington in a way I couldn't before. But that is also the case with certain types of classical music. But certainly the music of, say, the first part of the 20th century, I grew up listening and loving, you know, Debussy, Ravel, and then went on to Benjamin Britten, Michael Tippett, and especially Henri de Thieu, the French composer who's now well into his 80s, I think. So that was part of my upbringing, just as jazz was. You know, if you think of Birth of the Cool and the influences behind that, for example, as I say, you know, you can look everywhere. So in a way, to me, the tradition is very outward-looking, it's inclusive, and we take our references from wherever we find them.
Well, thank you so much, Tim Garland. The last piece we're going to hear in your set, in Storm's Nocturnes, is called...
Yeah, Ripertoli.
Ripertoli,
it's a beautiful place near Florence. And this is based... But the piece is based upon a sunrise, but the most unlikely sunrise, because I got up before dawn while I was there once and experienced such a teeming mass of nature waking up, that it was anything but kind of, you know...
Tranquil?
Tranquil, yeah. It was kind of like a whole feast of nature, really noisy and buzzing with life, with lots and lots of melodies, if you like, all going on at the same time. So a kind of a mystery there.
It's a very beautiful combination.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, me too.
Thank you, Tim Garland.
Thank you.
The intricate ripotole composed by Tim Garland, who played bass clarinet and soprano saxophone on that track, and also played tenor saxophone, and is one-third of the Storm's Nocturnes trio. Joe Locke was on vibes, and the pianist was Jeffrey Keyser. That was recorded at the Royal Northern College of Music on the 6th of April of this year. And my huge thanks to Tim Garland for his comments and analysis. Thank you, Tim.
Pleasure, as always.
Well, that's it for this week. Next week, join me from the Bath Festival, where we'll be featuring Andy Shepherd, John Haller, John Etheridge and John Paricelli. In which order? Well, tune in next week to find out. Jazz on 3 tomorrow night, we'll have a concert from Ambrose Akinmesire, the new Blue Note trumpet hotshot. Till next week, when I join you from the Bath Festival, this is Julian Joseph on Jazz Lineup saying bye-bye.
Welcome to BBC Radio 3 Through the Night with me, Jonathan Swain. All roads lead to Rome, so they say. Certainly they were very likely to in Renaissance times. By the late 1500s, when Palestrina was in charge of the papal choir, the Vatican's Sistine Chapel had been in existence for well over a century and already had in its employ a steady stream of eminent composers. One of these was probably the Frenchman Philippe Verdelot. Can't be 100% certain, but he definitely spent most of his later life in Italy. The Swiss radio chorus are the singers here. In a few minutes we'll hear them in a Palestrina Mass. But first of all, the Philippe Verdelot motet the Palestrina Mass is based on, Gabriel Arcangelus. Diego Fasolis conducting the Swiss Radio Chorus in Rome in 2009, in music probably written in Rome by Philippe Verdelot, his motet Gabriel Arcangelus. Well, Palestrina took his name from the town near Rome where he was born. And when the local bishop, Cardinal Del Monte, was elected pope, he brought Palestrina to Rome with him. The Swiss Radio Chorus now in Palestrina's Gabriel Arcangelus Mass, based on Verdelot's motet, which itself was based on a Gregorian chant theme.